Morning, 7:09. It's weekend. Lubbock's First News. Collins Mack and Ambassador T. Bornage Jr., Vice Provost of International Affairs at Texas Tech University. Just back from D.C. It was a one-day commute.
One day up and back.
What were you doing up there?
Trip.
Well, my you
got to sign something or
no,
what?
No. One of my sons is getting ready to go off to Kampala, Uganda for a 3-year tour. And that's not one of the safest places in the world, so I wanted one more chance to go up there before he heads off next
and convince
week.
Him not to go.
No. He knows worldwide availability. That's part of the Foreign Service.
Yeah.
And you pretty well go where they tell you.
You know, that must be – I've always thought about that. That's just kind of weird.
Worldwide availability.
No. No, it's like, you know, if you come from a family full of doctors or, you know, it's just kind of in your genes. But, you know, you come full of – You come from a family full of, like, people that are, like, in, you know, peripheral government-type things, like ambassadors and stuff like that, because both you're both
world travelers.
Both of my sons, yeah. They're in – because they grew up in Africa. They were born in Africa, grew up in Africa. They grew up around embassies and Marines. Mm-hmm. They like action. They like that part of the world because you don't get bored there.
That's
you know, he's
sure.
not going to have a boring assignment.
So basically, they woke up with their dad saying, I laugh in the face of danger. Ha ha.
Well, don't laugh, but, you know, you have to live with it.
Yeah, that's just.
And that's the key is living with it.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just kind of interesting because they're, I mean, it's perilous.
Oh, absolutely. It is perilous.
All right, let's talk and touch on the vote in Scotland.
Isn't it good to have some calming news?
I know.
You know,
I mean,
because
I
there's
hope
enough
everything
going on
is
in the
calm
world.
Over there. Are
well,
they are they taking
so.
It well?
I'm sure they will because, you know, 85% of the people, eligible voters voted. Can you imagine
that's
if 85% of the people in the U.S. ever voted in any election?
That sets a record worldwide for
85% democracy. 85% of the people in America aren't smart enough to find the polls for themselves.
Yeah, that's yeah. Well,
well, Scotland.
But,
in case
but,
you don't know what was going on, Scotland voted yesterday on
stay,
whether to
stay in the United Kingdom, that's right,
or to be independent.
But, and then here's the other good news: is that the vote was by what a margin of 9 or 10% or even more.
Yeah, it was like 55-45 something.
Yeah.
Like
which is great. Because imagine if it had been like, you know, 50.01 over 49.99.
Right. Then there'd be a recount.
Yeah. But it's still not. I mean, for the future, it's not settled. Because I think when they look at the numbers, they're going to find that the younger people voted probably majority yes and the older people no. So, you know, it's going to be like Quebec. I'm afraid that every, you know, 10 or 15 years, they're going to have a vote. But we'll see.
You know,
but for now, it's good. For
in
now,
the UK.
It's great.
Here's what I'm kind of wondering. Because I heard this said since World War II. There were 26 countries that had been relinquished their independence, something like that, from you know the United Kingdom, and then the next statement was, "So what's the big deal?" But you know, this is not your mom and daddy's world.
No, and the big thing, remember, happened after World War I when the three big multi-ethnic empires all broke up. You know, the Ottoman, the Austro-Hungarian, and the Russian. And, of course, after the end of communism, also you had all those new countries. But the big deal is that if the Scots had voted for independence, there are 8 other such movements in Europe that could have come to the fore. Now, the Catalonians are still going to go ahead and vote in November. Hmm. You know, the part of Spain, the Catalonians, Barcelona, the second biggest city in Spain. But it looks like now they probably will not vote for independence. They're still going to go with the vote, but... I don't think that they're going to go for independence.
Really?
That would have been, again, one more kind of destabilizing factor.
Well, the thing is, with economically speaking, I don't think the Scots were prepared for this because they don't have a currency.
Right.
They would be, you know, it's like, you know, Queen Mother May I type of a thing. And, you know, as far as the security, they have nukes, but who controls them?
Yeah, and they do have oil, but the Brits have military bases. It would have been a mess. I mean, you know, just think back, and this would have been a kind of friendly divorce. Remember back in our own country when the Confederacy, you know, seceded, and what a horrendous mess that turned out
so
to be.
Friendly.
No, that was not.
So do they feel that they have not had enough say in the United Kingdom?
Yeah, it all goes back to local control over the issues that are most important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now the United Kingdom is going in a decentralized direction because now the Scots and the Welsh and the Northern Irish will all have a lot more power over their own lives. The Scottish Parliament was only created in 1999. Hmm. Until 1999, there was not even a Scottish Parliament. But now they'll all have greater control. In the United States, on the other hand, it seems like it's going in the other direction, whereas more and more power is evolving towards Washington and away from the local communities, which I don't think is a healthy trend, but, you know, we'll see.
The one thing that I guess we're going to see come out of this, like you said, it's going to be decentralized, but it already has been stated that more power is going to be deliberately relinquished to try and... Because really what this is, the next vote, if they don't do something... The next vote, when it does come, probably mm-hmm. will happen.
Absolutely.
But the majority of the people that voted, I think, for independence in Scotland, they were saying are younger people, but at the 11th hour, they were talking about the economic stuff, mm-hmm. and it kind of scared some people. So if they hadn't introduced that in the 11th mm-hmm. hour and reintroduced that and really harped on it, you know, money's the root of all evil. And I think what it did, it scared them into the no
vote. The love of yeah. money is the root of all evil, not money itself.
If it didn't exist,
there'd be no love.
That's right. Yeah. You wouldn't be sharing love. All right, we'll be back talking ISIS. There's some bad mocus going around, new stuff that you may not have heard of. It's 7:15. Good morning. Tibor Nice is in the house, and he's vice provost of international affairs, Texas Tech University. Man, there's a lot of trash going on with ISIS. And,
sure is.
And now the war on terror. Now, the latest.
You mean the not war.
The latest.
Right. The unwar.
The latest bastardization of nomenclature would be forward deployment.
Yeah. Well, the other one that got me was ISIS really is not a quote-unquote terrorist organization. It's a fighting force.
And they're not really Islam.
Yeah, exactly. Now, they're not. It's like the Inquisition was not true Christianity.
Right.
You know, so no, there it's not Islam. It's but yeah, I'm with you on that, the terminology.
Okay, so we had this big terror bust in Australia.
Yeah, right. And that's the frightening part, because that's what, you know, we were talking about that before with homegrown terrorism. Mm-hmm. They are not assigned by ISIS or even by Al-Qaeda to infiltrate into Australia and do this. These are people that grow up there and they're ideological sympathizers, and they say, hey, ISIS is cutting people's heads off, so let's do the same thing right here in public in Australia. Remember when those...
So did that not come from some higher up?
No. And that's the thing, because, you know, if you have a command and control system, you can destroy that by going after the mm-hmm. central command. But when people are ideologically attuned to you, and they say, "Oh, you know, they're doing this, so let's do the same thing right here."
So there's
like those
two
Nigerian guys in Britain that killed that poor soldier, mm-hmm. you know, in broad daylight on a public street.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we do have time, but we're running. We get a lot of time, a lot of things to cover here directly. Okay. France.
Yeah, France
launches a strike.
France launches a strike. It's symbolic. You know, the French don't have our kind of power, obviously, but they're in there and they're going to do their bit. Now, the French have been extremely good. They're the ones that reversed the Islamic fundamentalist takeover of Mali. I mean, the French are limited, but they are very dedicated and they act very quickly. And they're the ones that first got into Libya. Now, we can look back and say, was that a smart thing for them to do or not? Probably not. But they were the ones that got in there, and they kind of drug us along with them.
Okay, big question here. In hindsight, in 2 or 3 years, is this arming the Syrian rebels? Is this going to be a mess up your pants kind of thing?
I'm afraid so. I think the time to arm the Syrian rebels would have been right after the struggle started against Assad, when the Free Syrian Army was still the opposition, before all the Islamic radicals started being attracted to the movement and forming their own organizations. I think it'll be very difficult right now to determine exactly who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. Remember the Mujahideen in Afghanistan against the Soviets, and we gave them the the missiles, and they were good guys. You know, they were our good guys. But after it ended, those handheld rockets ended up with some pretty bad guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so much of the time that happens. Now, here's a stunner. Now, your son's fixing to go to Uganda. But there's some bad stuff going on. I mean, yeah, well, there's always bad stuff going on there, but I mean.
Well, that's a different terrorist group. That's Al-Shabaab in Somalia, because the Ugandans are part of the peacekeeping forces of the UN in Somalia. So Al-Shabaab's been going after the Ugandans. Remember, they had an explosion there during the World Cup in a public place. Now the Ugandans, and working with the American government, have dismantled a major terrorist plot in Kampala that was going to be directed against the Ugandans and the Americans.
Okay. And Al-Shabaab is they're Al-Qaeda.
They are Al-Qaeda affiliated. Al-Shabaab has been fighting to make Somalia into a Islamic, not, they didn't say caliphate, because Al-Qaeda doesn't believe in the concept of the caliphate yet. That's one of their big ideological fights with ISIS. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't think that.
They got to drink
a
little.
They all believe kind of the same thing.
They got to drink a little more hooch. They haven't had the Kool-Aid yet. All right.
Yeah, that's how the French will get them. Drop red wine on ISIS. Right.
All right. Are all these freakish groups, are they related? Are they cousins? I mean, do they commiserate? Do they have international terror conventions?
No. Well, that would be great if they did, because then we could wipe them out
at
all.
Yeah.
But oftentimes they hate each other, you know, as much as they hate the great Satan or whatever, you know, name they want to call us that week. Because remember, the ISIS is very, very radical form of Sunni. I mean, they consider the Shia just as apostate as they consider Christians. They consider anybody who is not their radical version of Sunni to be apostates and open for conversion or death.
Wow. Man, that's a lot to keep up with.
But we did have good news with the Scottish election.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
One bit of good news this week.
Uganda story here that I thought was just kind of humorous.
Bring it on.
Uganda's prime minister has fired a former close ally because he was a rival, a potential rival for the next election.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's...
So you got a rival? Just fire him.
It's better than jailing him. See, democracy has moved forward.
Or cutting off his head.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, well.
Is your job stressful?
No, because I love working at a university, but I just keep up with, you know, the rest of the world.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad you do. Thanks for coming in and educating all of us.
Well, it's always a pleasure with you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tibor Nagy, all-around nice guy, ambassador and vice provost of international affairs and infidel.